Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
Good evening, guys. It is Access All Areas live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Stephen Lowe.
And we have got a jam-packed show this evening. So, I did a lovely little pre-record with celebrity hairdresser Andrew Barton. So, we're going to be talking all things hair care and how to give your hair the attention it deserves. A lot of us look after our skin, but we've got to start looking after the barnet as well. Plus, we're excited because we're joined by a comedian, Tom Stade, and he's going to come on via Zoom and give us a lovely little chat about his brand new tour.
Fab.
But firstly, Stephen, how are you, babes?
I'm all right, love. How are you doing?
All good, all good. Cold.
Absolutely freezing. Freezing my nuts off. I've got like 5 layers on today. All good.
Oh, we know.
I've noticed, though, and this is very exciting, those evenings are getting slightly lighter. Just slightly.
Ish.
It's not pitch black at 4:30.
We'll take every minute counts. Yeah. So, weather aside, obviously we're joined by the gorgeous Ellen. How are you, darling?
Hello, I'm Grace. Thank you. How are you?
Really good, thank you, babes.
Good, good. I love your positivity, Stephen, about the weather. Yeah. But you know what? I have noticed that. The weather is
my
slightly...
rare positivity. Because it's true. It is true.
The weather, it is slightly. It's almost like it's just 10 minutes like earlier, which is good.
Every minute counts.
Yeah. Okay, Bobby, positivity.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I'll take cold. I'll take cold over snow.
I don't know. I like snow. I feel like gray, if it's going to be cold, commit. Snow. Oh. I want the whole thing. I want all the seasons, just not this weird cold for months.
Careful what you wish for, babe, because a little bit of snow, the trains, the tubes, the buses, the cars, it all goes to shit.
That's fine.
Snow day.
Sit me, yeah.
Great.
Sit at home. What's your point?
We'll catch up on Love Island. Yeah. It's fine.
So, Miss Ellen, obviously the queen of showbiz, what has been going on this week, darling?
Well, I think the most popular video that's doing the rounds this week is Ariana DeBose. She was left fuming at the Critics' Choice Awards after a joke that Bella Ramsey did. Now, Bella Ramsey, fair play, like she didn't write the joke. She just had to say it. Sometimes I feel guilty or sorry for these actors who have to go on stage and just read these like notes and then they get all the backlash for it. So basically what Bella Ramsey said, she was kind of, Ariana was kind of lumped into a joke about actors who think they are singers. But it's unfair for Ariana to be lumped into that because she's actually a Broadway star. She's like been a trained singer for years. She actually performed in one of Steven Spielberg's musical. She won like an Academy Award for that. She was also nominated for like a Tony Award. So she's a really like renowned singer.
She got awards.
Yeah, she got awards. Like, and she also is a singer in one of Disney's new movies called Wish. So she has a lot of accolades and she is like a trained singer. So she was lumped in with Ryan Gosling, who's like clearly not a singer and he doesn't claim to be, and Jack Black, who is a pretty good singer, but he doesn't claim to be one. So she kind of just said that Ariana, Jack Black and Ryan Gosling are actors who also think that they are singers. And then the camera just turned to Ariana in the audience and she was like, excuse me?
The like, shade.
Looks so pissed off.
I wouldn't mind being tied in with Ryan Gosling, no.
I know. Well, he actually ended up winning the award, which is ironic after all of that, for his song in Barbie. And his face also was a picture because he was like, sorry, what? Who
very
won
surprised,
me? He was so surprised. So that was like a little fun tidbit. But she actually went to her Instagram stories afterwards and she wrote, yeah, I didn't find it funny.
So she's calling it out.
She's calling it out. And also, we kind of got that, Ariana. But
I mean, her sort of cringe behaviour is obviously sort of, I met people before when she did the BAFTAs and did that song, didn't she, when she sang them.
Oh, yeah,
I think she seems to have a bit of a history of sort of award show and going viral stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
As good as she is, you know.
Yeah.
But, that's just, them's the breaks, I guess.
That's just it, yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. Fair play to her. She didn't deserve it, but, you know, at least she bit back a small bit.
Yeah.
Another one hitting the headlines today, Lindsay Lohan. She's back. Are we back in 2000?
Little
Yeah, feels like it. So, obviously, Mean Girls is out, the remake. That's out today in cinemas in the UK. But Lindsay is feeling very hurt. quote from Lindsay Lohan.
No,
she's
why?
Very
What's
hurt
happened?
And disappointed, might I add, by the film's reference to the word fire crotch. So basically, fire crotch, as you can imagine, is like a term for a ginger person's nether regions.
Ginger pubes.
Ginger pubes. I'm trying to be so diplomatic. But basically...
she delivers diplomacy. I'll just tell you what time it is. Ginger pubes.
Yin and yang. But so basically, they used that in the new movie, that phrase, just in a bit about wearing red clothes or something. And Megan Thee Stallion says something along the lines of, oh, we're bringing fire crotch back. Lindsay didn't, she doesn't star in the movie, but she does a small little cameo. So she went to the premiere and watched it along with everyone else. And she was fuming when she saw that line come up, because in 2006, Brendan Davies, I'm not sure if you know him. It was my first time hearing about him.
No.
He basically was filmed coming out of a club with Paris Hilton in 2006, and he called Lindsay Lohan fire crotch. Then Paris Hilton can be heard laughing, and that sparked a decade-long feud between Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton. I was always wondering how that feud sparked, and
so
that was
started it. Started out over pubes.
Over pubes.
Fuck a duck.
So that's it. And he, a couple of years later, he was speaking to Page Six and he apologised for saying that. And also Paris Hilton said that they were very immature at the time and she regrets laughing at the joke or whatever. But it's clearly hit a sore point with Lindsay Lohan, and now it's in the new Mean Girls movie. So she's not happy in the slightest.
So what are you reading into that?
She's still scarred by firecrotch.
Yeah. So she's still bothered.
She's still bothered by it, yeah.
I guess she's like a mum now. She's like very far away from that like party girl thing that she used to be into. Mm. Like pictures of her dancing in Mykonos and all of the stuff.
Oh God, those are the days.
Laughing her hair.
Yeah.
You know, those days are behind her. Maybe she sort of hoped everyone else thought that too, but
yeah,
clearly not.
Yeah, it's kind of weird for the writers to put that in the movie, especially because they gave her a little cameo to, you know, be still part of it. It's like, you know, she's synonymous with Mean Girls. So you think that they'd want to kind of respect her legacy with that. But they kind of just threw it in there. Maybe they didn't know the story, but...
Seems unlikely, but you never know.
Maybe they knew it would hit headlines and get Mean Girls even more
publicity. About it now.
It could be a very clever PR move.
It really could.
I'd love to have been a fly on the wall at the Prem.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
Imagine her in her seat hearing that line.
I wouldn't want to piss her off.
No, I wouldn't. Oh, definitely not.
She's got fire in the belly.
Yeah.
And a crotch.
Oh my God.
Mr. Lane.
Well, she's never coming on the show.
No, we've just lost a guest.
Oh, so that's Lindsay. And also, this is kind of a weird one today. So Brad Pitt's former roommate, Jason Priestley.
Priestley.
Yep. He was in Beverly Hills 90210. Oh,
very handsome.
Yeah, handsome guy. He spilled the beans on Brad's hygiene habits. Now, I have to add that these hygiene habits were back in their college days, so I hope that they're slightly different to what they are now.
What were they?
So basically, they both lived in a flat together in the bad side of LA, he said. And they lived off of noodles and cheap beer, and they basically had this weird bet where they would try to go as long as possible without showering and see who won.
Oh no.
And
forget
he said it. Brad won every single time.
Oh
no.
See, younger Bobby that crushed old. Not even younger Bobby, I'm gonna own it. Even now I still crush over the pit.
I know.
But the smell of him...
The smell of him
does kind of upset me a little
Brad's
bit.
Pits.
Probably still wouldn't say no, though.
I know.
So, Brad, if you are listening, slide in them DMs.
I'm just going to throw it out there. I don't think these guys were getting it around then.
Nah.
Brad Pitt, are you joking? In his college days?
Come on. Do you think so? If he was a stinky Brad Pitt.
Yeah, but it might have just been a couple of weeks and then, you know, have a shower and he's
fine.
A couple of weeks, that's a long time. Stay there. A couple of days is too long.
Yeah, but I mean, just one time, then you have a shower, don't you?
Well, this is apparently an ongoing thing that they've done throughout the time that they lived together. And he said Brad kept on winning. So I'm like, oh, I don't know. Brad strikes me as being stinky. Is that bad to say?
No, it's just say his
get-up. His get-up. His hair looks always slightly
greasy.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. Yeah, there is that vibe to me.
Yeah.
Like, what else happened in his apartment, have they said?
I know. Yeah. No, he didn't. Any that's other, it.
Just eating noodles, drinking beer and not showering.
And not showering.
Oh. Sounds like any other college.
It does really, doesn't it?
Set up.
See, the OCD in me, I mean, again, as I say, if it weren't Brad Pitt, so I'm being a bit hypocritical, but you can just imagine, like, bear in mind, these two men sat on a sofa, yeah. If we're saying allegedly 2 weeks not getting in the shower, eating noodles out of maybe the salt spoon,
yeah.
Cheap beer, boys smell sometimes.
Anyway, yeah.
It's a stinking out.
Oh, my God. Oh. No, I couldn't. It literally, I don't know, I don't care how pretty you are. Like, no one's getting away with that.
He weren't getting Jennifer Aniston them days. If she went round there, I can't imagine, allegedly, I don't know, Jen, you get in touch and let us know, Fubar. But I can't imagine he would have won Miss Aniston back then.
Well, yeah, I don't think so.
Buckley Duckling turned into a very beautiful swan.
Well, yeah, hopefully their shower habits are a bit better now too. And like you said, that Jason guy's quite hot as well. That was my first time seeing him today, so I was like, all right, okay. Yeah. And apparently they've lost touch now since their careers took off. So.
But even more so since he's come out and said that.
Yeah, exactly. Brad is like, really, man?
He won't be won't be texting him or WhatsApping him anytime soon.
Yeah, exactly it. And another one to look forward to, because obviously we're having those really dark, long, long, long nights, and they're going to go on for a hell of a long time. We have another great TV show to start watching. So Celebrity Big Brother.
Yes.
That's coming out in March. And there's a few rumours about who's going to be in the house. And my favourite one is Philip Schofield.
Never going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's going to happen either. But I would literally quit my job and watch Celebrity Big Brother live for the rest of time was the case.
I don't think we're getting Scope. But like you, I'd be fascinated to watch. But I just can't say Phil sat in the diary room and just around the fire in the garden. Do you know what I mean? Just
smoking,
talking
vaping outside, because he loved his vape
on his Lost Mary. Yeah. Other brands are available.
Do you
and
not
spilling
think though,
the tea?
Do you not think though it would be so good for his career? I feel like Celebrity Big Brother is a real good one for celebrities who've kind of lost their way and they need to come back into the public view.
Michael
and
Barrymore.
Positive. Yeah.
Happened with him.
Yeah, yeah. Did it work for him? It did a bit,
I suppose. I mean, I guess it gave people like sort of a more human angle to him after everything that had gone on in his personal life.
That's it.
Who else is sort of, I can't think of anyone else that sort of
didn't
gone
they do
in
a whole series 1 year that was about all celebs that had gone in there, all had, like, it was called The Eye of the Storm. You know, they sometimes did a theme in the Channel 5 days. And they'd all had some kind of controversy, or they'd been, it was basically Eye of the Storm, so shit had gone down. And so that was quite interesting, where everyone had a story to tell. Again, I'd love to see Schofield in there.
Yeah.
Whether it's too, I reckon maybe if it was going to happen a couple of years down the line, but bearing in mind, it's now ITV.
Yeah.
And with what's gone on.
Yeah. Is it too soon?
Is it too soon? If it had been Channel 5, I don't
but
know.
But there's also been like an ITV internal investigation, isn't there? I think it would probably be, you're right, Bob, I think it would probably be quite unlikely that ITV would be like, you
know what?
Signing
off checks.
Yeah.
Check you back. It's a bit like if you get like made redundant or something, you know, and you're not going to get called back within a certain period of time.
Yeah.
You never know.
Remember us.
Yeah.
Maybe they have to let the dust settle on that one. Maybe you'll be there in 2025,
2026. Couple of years' time, maybe. Yeah. Watch this space.
I think it would be good for him, just like you said, the human aspect, you know, because we're only reading headlines about him. And I feel like, you know, we'd see the human element.
Yeah,
and maybe he'd talk
absolutely.
About how he felt around that time or whatever.
Isn't it rumoured that we're going to get some royalty in there?
Well, oh my God, this would be incredible as well. Sarah Ferguson. That would be a good one.
Miss Tosuck.
Miss Tosuck. The Duchess of Duchess of York.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a really good booking.
See, because when I saw this stream, I was like, oh, we ain't going to get royalty in there. But people, I mean, she's kind of far removed, but still kind of in the click. We've seen her pop up at a little more engagements than we had over the years prior.
Yeah.
But people associated, we have seen some going into the jungle, haven't we? So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I often think whatever a TV channel's paying that person, there's certain people in power that don't want things out there.
Yeah.
And they've always gone to write just a little bigger check than a TV channel.
Totally.
So
That's exactly it. The only thing about Sarah is she's never really went against, you know, we're all going to want to know about Prince Andrew, and she's always been on his side.
Yeah.
I feel like that would go against her if she was in the house, because if like the housemates are questioning her about that, and we all know everyone's talked about that in the UK.
Yeah.
And then she's been hyper positive about him and he's a great dad and all this. I feel like that would go against her. She'd probably be voted out, booed. It probably won't do much for her image.
No, she's one if I was in that house and she was in there, she's definitely one I would love to sit there like I was on Access All Areas.
Yeah.
Because I want to sit her down, I'll make her a cup of tea, I'll get her a biscuit, I'll bake her a cake. Yeah. But Sarah, darling, I want to talk.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Real talk.
But is she ever got, I don't know, and fair play to her, yeah. I don't know if she's going to do that. She ain't going to spill tea in the Big Brother house.
No.
Do you remember Mike Tindall? When he went into the celebrity, he said maybe two things about the royal family.
Yeah, he didn't give away
picked up massively those two tiny things that he did say.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have the controversy surrounding it. Not that Sarah does herself necessarily, but with Prince Andrew, it's a bit of a different ball game.
Totally.
It's like we said about Britney's sister in the series of I'm a Celeb just gone. I'm sure Sarah, she's been around the block in terms of... she's been in the game a long time. We're talking back like when Diana, they kind of came up
80s,
together when,
yeah,
80s. So the girl, she's been about, she knows what time it is. So she wouldn't be when she said about, like, don't put me in the Tower of London.
She's been around the block. Maybe
Your Majesty, don't put me in the Tower of London.
We're like, what does Bob know?
Unless it's with a smelly Brad Pitt, and then we'll talk. But I'm sure even Sarah, oh, can I get beheaded for saying that?
She's Sarah, Duchess of York, so you can't call her Sarah.
Sarah, darling, right, Sarah.
Yeah.
I'm sure she knows if that offer come in, and I don't doubt that offer probably has gone in, whether she accepts it or not, but she would know what's required.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're not saying come in and just talk about, how's your
everything.
Year been?
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like she's going to
pick
and choose.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's also like the head of lots of charities and stuff. She'll probably use the time to like chat about that, which is great for the charities and stuff, but it won't be good for the tabloids.
No.
Well, it's all like in theory though, isn't it? It's like that's what she'd aim to go into do. But in the end, she'd probably be fighting with Philip Schofield about cereal or do you know what I mean?
Or
like
a gin in a tin.
Yeah. Yeah. We've only got two gin in a tin and
there's
four of
us. We've only got one vape left in the house. Who's tugging on it. What flavour do you want? But moving on, like, another rumour I've seen. Now, can you confirm this, Ellen? When I say confirm, like, this is all, like, obviously, rumour mill.
But
Louis Walsh.
Louis Walsh. He would be a really good one. Because he's fallen off the face of the earth, hasn't he?
Yes.
Like, now, I don't know I don't know how much he would give. Like, there's not much controversy around him. So, like, what would we get? But I do feel like he'd be a bit of fun. You know?
Yeah.
I think
sometimes when you get those older contestants, they can be a bit more fiery, maybe, than you're anticipating.
Mm.
You're shoving them in a room full of young, drunk people. Like, I don't really know what would be in this for Louis.
I can't see him doing Jager bombs at midnight.
No.
He might
with the kids.
Us. He's like, Irish.
Saying that, I'd love it. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I could do tequila rosés
like
with him.
There you go. You never know. He could surprise us.
But there's a lot, like, met him a couple of times, like when Extra Factor was still better than the X Factor.
Yeah.
But there's a lot, even though he's been around forever and a day, there's a lot I'd like to know about him that public, do you know what I mean? Like, he's one of them people, we know of him, but he's never been one of them celebs that kind of everything's written about, spoken about.
Literally.
So he's kind of quite a closed book. So he could be a good booking.
Yeah.
He could literally tell us so much stuff about Simon Cowell as well.
Imagine.
Like, there's loads of rumours going around about Simon Cowell and Nicole Scherzinger. So, like, maybe he'd let those spill.
And just all the drama that's gone on in X Factor in recent years, people... Well, not on the show, but people talking about it in retrospect and all of the stuff that went on behind the scenes that no one ever knew about and contracts that people signed and bad experiences that people had. Maybe he'd have something to say on that.
Did he allegedly fall out with someone? I know there was rumoured beef between, was it Danny and Sharon back in the day?
Oh, Cheryl. Louis and Cheryl didn't get on,
Yeah, that was it. And there were also a rumour that, actually, was this in Cheryl's book? Correct me if I'm wrong, if you know. I'm pretty sure Cheryl alluded to the fact that Nicole Scherzinger got the job because she had affairs with Simon Cowell. That was in Cheryl's book, right? I didn't say that.
That tea.
So maybe Louis could tell us something about that. Get him drunk enough.
this is it. But again, like we go back to with Miss Ferguson and certain people connected to people of power, is Simon Kerr, if it, Louis went on the WhatsApp or voice note, just imagine him sat in the bar voice noting Mr. Kerr, here, babes, I've been offered to look Big Brother. and Simon goes back, how much they giving you? I'll put 10 grand on it. I'll put 20. Because, you know, there's certain people. I don't know. I'd love him to go in there. Bring that to him.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Totally. I just hope he calls him babes, too. That would be so
Louis babes.
Louis babes.
Who else is rumoured?
So Katie Price. I think this she would won. Be a good. She yeah. did win. But also Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt. They were in Celebrity Big Brother as well before.
They've done it twice.
Have they done it twice?
Yeah. So they did it Ryland's year. And then they did the infamous Kim Woodburn year.
Ah, okay.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember the chicken liver shit thing.
Oh, yeah.
And Heidi and Spencer was there. That, oh, I am the biggest Big Brother fan from back in the day.
Wow. And when was that? 2014-ish?
That year would have been, I reckon, slightly later. I reckon Kim Woodburn's would have been about 16.
Yeah, it was one of the last ones, wasn't it?
16, possibly 17.
Okay, interesting.
Because that was the year they, sorry, Twin Chart, they'd done a couple, it was a year where it was almost an all-stars, like we've seen with Love Island. Yeah. So there's people that had done it before.
I see, yeah.
But I mean, they are reality TV through and through. They know what they're doing. Do you know what
totally.
I mean? So they could do a third stint. It's never been done. But
yeah, I think so. And I feel like if they went back and a Katie Price, because they'd done it like so long ago, I feel like they can do it again.
Yeah.
Just because we know they're good in it.
It's not like Strictly, I guess, is it? Where
yeah.
you'd be like, yeah, I mean, you're not like learning a new skill. So it's not.
That's it. It's almost 10 years later. Yeah. Like, so, do you know, it's like, you know, where are they now? They're probably completely different people. I remember like Heidi and Spencer were bonkers, like absolutely bonkers. They were like so LA and everyone else was like so London and Manchester and everyone was like, who are these? So it'd be interesting to see what they're like now that they have kids and they're more settled and all of that jazz.
And everyone's that bit more grown up now. But when the year Katie Price won, I'm sure the final two was the two Katies. She was in there with Katie Hopkins.
Right, okay.
Which was the Perez Hilton
year. It
was,
and Michelle Visage.
And Michelle Visage.
Yeah.
Did Katie Price win it?
Yeah.
I feel
and
like
then Hopkins second.
She's really likeable person.
It was Michelle, wasn't it? Michelle.
No, it was second? The two Katies, the final. Okay. So I think Michelle Cup. She got to the final. She was either third or fourth.
Okay.
I feel like Katie as well. Like she's such a likeable person. Like when you watch her on telly, but the tabloids kind of write about her in a way, you know. And also her life is like slightly chaotic on the outskirts, looking in. I feel like seeing her would like. None of the tabloids and all of that and just seeing her personality shine through, maybe it would help her public, appearance.
It's got to be a watch this space.
It really has to
be. We're certainly here for it. I'm excited to find out. Thank you, Miss Ellen.
Well, thank you
Always
very much.
A pleasure, never a chill. We'll be seeing you next week, Gulch. I have been busy beating the streets of London today. King's Cross, in fact.
Oh, right.
In a prostitution.
Yeah, beating the streets of King's Cross. Who's the lucky guy?
Because the guys at home, the girls and gals, because Bobby on the Street is back. Now, today I've ummed and ahed about it. Of course, the first time back, new year, new me and all that kind of thing. And I thought, you know what? The world needs dogs talking about All Stars. Yeah. Love Island coming back. So I was like, obviously, we're now 3 days into the show. I was like, so who do we want to see go in to the villa? So I'm going to ask you guys, before I throw to a clip of bots, Stephen, who would you, from whoever's been in over the years of Love Island, who would you like to be a bombshell?
Would it matter if they were in a relationship or not?
Nah.
I'd say Marcel.
Oh,
because he was always a really good like character. Funny vibes, liked him a lot. Yeah,
I would love to see Maura. How
she's rumored,
that?
Isn't she? She's rumored.
She rumored to be a bombshell because she would switch it up. I feel like if the producers told her to like go in and like stir some stuff, she would do
be
it.
Like, no problem.
She'd be like, yeah, no problem. Like I feel like she's fierce. Yeah, like she won't let anything hold her back. That would be fun.
And that girl is glowing right now. I mean, she was always glowing.
Yeah,
but I mean, right now that girl, I see her on Instagram.
She's
like, girl,
I know
she's hot.
I know. I'd hate to be in the same room as her. Like, but I'd love to go for a pint of
it. Oh my God, I'd love to go for a pint of it. So let's have a little taster and a little teaser before it goes live on social media on Friday. Let's find out what the lovely people of London Tan, who they want to see go into the Love Island Villa.
I liked Kem and was it Chris? Was it Kem and Chris?
Yeah, Chris and Kem.
Yeah, Chris and Kem. Not Kem and Chris, Chris and Kem. Yeah, I think that was a, that whole season was really good. Maura. Yeah, she would have brought it. She would have brought it. She was jokes.
Curtis. Is it Curtis Pritchard?
Curtis, yeah.
Kem.
I like Hannah Elizabeth because she's just a Scouser queen. She's amazing and she's in there right now, but... I like Chloe Burrows as well. She's like the most iconic. Molly May would be fun, even though she's with Tommy. But I think just for the lols, she'd be quite cool. Maybe Chris Hughes.
Who's the one that says funny flatters? Maura.
I'm just going to say Chris and Kem. I think they were the iconic duo.
None of them. I didn't like any of them.
Kem and Chris. They were a good little duo. And also, I love Amber.
Tommy, Molly May and their baby.
The baby?
That's what the people of London Town want to see. We've had some amazing answers there. A lot for Maura.
Yeah.
Well, will she be going in?
I can see it happening.
She's a firecracker.
Yep.
She's someone that I think could have gone in as an original, though.
But yeah. Maybe she didn't want to.
Maybe, yeah. She's getting her check. Who knows? But I'd love to see her in there. So, guys, we're going to take a little break now, and then we're going to be back for the first interview of this evening, which is with the lovely Andrew Barton. But for a couple of minutes, we'll send you to the trail.
FUBAR Radio presents Access All Areas.
And we are joined now by our lovely guest, James Johnson, celebrity hairdresser. How are you, James?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
What was Mel B like then? I used to be a Spice Boy.
The best energy.
Did you sing to her?
Oh, no, I can't sing.
Nor can I, but I still
I remember the job got cancelled. I went to wherever she was staying in London. It got cancelled. And whoever she was living with made us Victoria sponge cake. So the job got cancelled. We all sat around the table eating cake. I got in the car and I was like, I've just sat with a Spice Girl eating Victoria Sponge.
Oh, noshing a bit of Vicky Sponge. Nick Helm
and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club. We are joined in the studio now by professional comedian Brett Goldstein. How are you doing, Brett?
I'm very grateful to be here with you two.
If you could dig someone up and fuck them.
Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly and Cary Grant, right?
Not Cary, there's not much time. If I could dig up Gene Kelly, I'd say, could we do a dance?
I've got the shovel in my boot. I've got...
In this scenario, is he still dead when you dig him up, or does he come out?
Does he come to life? Is he a rotten corpse, or is he...
That's fan club!
The Dating Show. Dating or going on dates when you were like a teenager was always quite fun, though. Do you know what I mean? I remember going on dates to like the cinema, or you'd go shopping, like shopping centres, wouldn't you?
I think, if anything, they were... Maybe this just says about life and where it is, but I used to get really excited, like more excited than I do now. Like the thought of going to meet someone in a park, a boy, it was like, oh my fucking God, what trainers am I going to wear? Are my trainers clean? Am I going to plait my hair? It was like... If the thought that would go through my head just to meet one person, whereas now, you know, you might meet someone on the way home from work and it's like the effort, you're still making an effort, but it's like, yeah, I can fit you in. It's completely different.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
You heard it here first, FUBAR Radio, Access All Areas, live on Wednesday evening. Now, guys, I did a lovely little pre-record with Mr. Andrew Barton, celebrity hairdresser. Let's get some tea and see what he has to say with hair recommendations. So, I don't know where to start. There's so much I want to ask you. But I'm going to start with, because you're writing a second book.
Yes, I am writing a second book. That's right. All called Shiny Happy Hair. It's all about... hair health and the ultimate guide to having healthy, shiny, beautiful hair. And that's really lovely in line with the partnership with Cloud Nine as well, because what's amazing about Cloud Nine is this fantastic ethos that they've got around hair being healthy, even when we're heat styling.
See, what I think's amazing about this, and I can't believe, and thankfully you're doing it, because... as years have gone on, people are slowly becoming more aware about skincare, and everyone talks about that. And it's an amazing thing. Like men feel comfortable as they should to moisturise, cleanse, tone, etc. But people often neglect hair. So what would you say, because obviously, like, especially this time of year, what are your go-tos? Are you a guy who loves a treatment?
I love a treatment, but I mean, certainly for my clients that I see at the salon in London, it's all about giving expert advice. Mm. And, you know, one of the interesting things is that we know, particularly kind of we're way past COVID now, but what we've seen is an increase of people returning back to the salon. And what we know from kind of search engines as well is that when it comes to expert advice, it's always about the professional. It's always about the hairdresser. And that's where people go to first for advice. And, you know, what I'm always talking about my guests and my clients when I'm talking about their hair health, it's always about dialing down the heat. Mm. No woman that I've ever met doesn't want to use a heat styling tool with their hair to get that ultimate great look. But it's about convincing people and supporting them and advising them to turn down that heat. Don't turn up the heat, girls. Turn it down.
Turn it down, girls. So I'm sure you, I know what you're going to say, but would you say heat protectors are key, even for a blow dry? Because some people think, oh, when the straighteners and the tongs are coming out. But even if you're just giving yourself a little blow, would you...
Even if you're going to do...
Recording in progress.
It's a good idea to kind of use a heat protector. And you know, the thing is that most girls get wrong, most women get wrong when they use a hair protector, heat protector. They apply it just to one area of the hair rather than each particular mesh that they're going to use heat on.
Now, obviously, as a celebrity hairdresser, Andrew, you've had many famous people in your chair. Mm-hmm. Do you love that side of hairdressing more? Do you still work like in a salon? Do you still have like your traditional clients that you've done for however many years, and you know the family, and you know when the daughter's getting married and all that jazz that goes with it? Do you love that kind of relationship from... I was an hairdresser in a past life, so I always used to love knowing, like, you'd be like, oh my God, you know what I mean? You watch the family grow up, you also know who's having an affair with who in an hairdresser. I mean, I always used to feel like it was being in EastEnders. The hair salons I've worked in, I can't tell you the amount of shit that's gone down.
I could easily write a script for a soap, that's for sure. And I love the fact that the question that you didn't ask was for me to dish the dirt on the divas that have been celebrities.
Oh, that's my next. That's my next question. Oh, I'm joking. I know you ain't got. No, I wouldn't ask you to spill tea, especially when you're like, you've done Naomi's hair, haven't you, Miss Campbell?
I've worked on everybody from A-listers to Z-listers and everybody in between. You know, you're absolutely right. Kind of the favourite bit about my job and my work is working behind the chair with a client, transforming how she looks and how she feels about herself as well. And that's what we know really well at Cloud9, is that it's about hair health. Because with healthy hair, that breeds confidence. It improves people's mental wellness and well-being. And it makes them feel that life is on. And, you know, when a woman's got great hair, she feels like everything is possible in her life. So, you know, that's what we care passionately about.
And you're saying, I think confidence is sexy. And you can't feel more confident when you've got a lovely little haircut done. Do you know what I mean? Well, a woman comes in, she has haircut, has a little bouncy blow or whatever she's having. Like, that feeling, like, it puts a spring in your step. Now, I'm no doctor or psychologist, but I think it's got to be good for your mental health.
You're absolutely, absolutely spot on right. And I've often referred to it and called it high heel behaviour. Because when a woman's wearing a pair of killer heels, even if she can't walk properly in them, she'll stand differently.
And, yeah.
You know, the curves of her body, and she shows herself in a different way. And it's exactly the same. It's that swish of great hair when a woman throws her head back or to one side, even if it's only 2 inches long. It's, you know, it's that hair swish.
We ain't size queens.
Confidence and self-awareness.
Absolutely. Don't know matter how many inches, does it, Andrew? As long as you know how to, you know, as long as you know what you're doing with it, 2 inches or 14 inches.
Oh,
yeah. You look like a man that can handle more. Now, I want to ask you, now, I know we're only very early doors into 2024, But can you see any predictions? You know, like when you go to a fashion week, you see what's going to make it to high streets, and it's kind of fashion. You know what's going to come for that year. What's your predictions for hair trends for 2024?
I think, you know, gone are the days of setting a specific trend that every woman aspires to. It's all about individuality. It's all about bespoke in that look for that person, for their personality. And you know, that's the great thing about styling hair as well, is that we can dial up that style and make it more exaggerated or make it less exaggerated, however that woman's feeling that day. It's the one outfit that she never takes off. Yeah. So, you know, it has to behave for her and perform for her in whatever situation she's in, whether that's in a formal situation at the office or whether it's in a more kind of party mode at the weekend with her girls or...
On her back with her ankles pointing to God.
Yes. Now, oh, I need to come on your show every week.
You do, babe, you do. Now, you just touched upon it. We are in a very different era of hair because we did, a few years back and years before that, have trends where... I remember people would always be, there'd always be a certain celeb at the time, and every year it slightly changed, but people would turn up. This is when, before people even had smartphones, they was pulling up with like pictures of cut out magazines, or they'd printed something off at home of a celeb, and they're like, I want that hair. And one of the most famous haircuts that was such a big thing globally was the Rachel that Miss Jen Aniston had. Now, I see recently Jen has brought back the Rachel. Mm. Do you think that's the right move for Miss Aniston?
You know what? I think what's important about any style is that it has to evolve with time. And if it's an exact replica of a previous decade or decades ago, then it can quite easily look like fancy dress. So it's about evolving a shape and a look and an image. So, you know, I've often said that the best piece of advice I can give to any woman is that even if she's a bob wearer for the rest of her life, she does need to evolve it about every 5 years to make sure it's looking current and modern and now rather than past. Yeah. And again, that refers really directly to how we style hair. You know, one of the things that we have seen a lot of, we've seen a lot of bouncy blowouts and a lot of beach waves. And it's actually quite exciting to see something a little sleeker at the moment as a trend as well. And more women kind of opting for that kind of image.
Yeah, the size queens.
It's all about evolving.
Absolutely. Now, I'm sure you've cut a few Rachels in your time. I always think of, like, in my era being hairdresser, like, you literally, I think I must have been doing maybe 3 or 4 a day. I've got to a point where I remember thinking, if you blindfolded me, I could have done a pob for anybody. You know when Vicky B had the bleached up hair and she had the famous Vicky B bob? There's certain haircuts that you just churn out. Do you see a difference now, Andrew? That's a thing of the past, really. You don't have 4 women a day go, I want to be Victoria Beckham or Jennifer Aniston or...
Thank you for not setting the task for me to do a blindfold Jennifer Aniston.
You could do a blindfolded anything, Andrew, I'm sure.
I think, you know, it goes back to that kind of around the way that hairdressing has evolved and so has the demands of people. You know, people are very aware of kind of great advice, great expertise, and that they're looking for something bespoke and tailor-made for them that takes into consideration their lifestyle and their wants and desires. And advice is the absolute key to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we touched upon it at the top of the interview. Like we mentioned, like skincare, and it's so important to look after every part of your body, hair, skin, and... People, you know, like where you realise nowadays where people know a lot more that what you eat definitely plays a part in how your skin looks and stuff. Now, apart from doing a traditional treatment, which, and again, not shying away from that, because a treatment's good for everyone, especially if you're using like your heat tools on your hair. But do you reckon like partying, like if someone's gone out and they're boozing a little bit heavy this time of year, or especially like they've been on holiday, there's a lot of time in the sun. All these elements take their toll on the barnet.
Yeah. Hair health is absolutely at the root of every woman's pursuit around her hair. You know, I have never met a woman that said to me, will you give me dull hair?
No.
Will you give me old-fashioned hair? Will you? Do you know what I mean? It's always about shiny, healthy hair. And part of that healthy hair regime does start with how we nourish and feed our bodies. And that's something that I've always talked about to my clients, how we exercise and take care of ourselves. We all know, without me going through a nutritional kind of diet plan for anybody, that the benefits of certain things that we do and the non-benefits of other things that we do.
Mm.
But, you know, from a styling perspective, it's definitely about kind of detoxing that hair and the scalp on a regular basis and making sure that we're doing that extra little bit of care to make the very best of the tresses that we've got. And with that, I am going to have to invite myself back next week for our regular sort on hair care and hairstyling, because this came as a beautiful surprise in my day to chat today.
No worries.
I've literally got to go on to a business call and I'm going to get absolutely sacrificed if I'm not there.
No worries, Mr. Barton. Yeah, anytime, come back. We call it Bobby's Blow Corner.
I'm into that.
I nearly fell off my chair in shock. You don't look like a guy that's into Bobby's Blow Corner. Jokes aside, Andrew, thank you so much for coming on Access All Areas. It's an absolute pleasure. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Okay, see you next week.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
That was the lovely Andrew Barton.
Lovely.
Great chat.
Yeah.
Nice really nice. Now, for our next guest, we're keeping them on coming, babes. There we are. So we're being joined by the lovely Tom Stoad, comedian, and he's joining us via Zoom. Excited for this one. I do love a comedian.
Is he there?
He's coming through. He's coming through. Do you know what? Whilst we load that, let's go to a little trails. No, do you know what? No, let's go straight in. Let's not waste any interview time. Let's go straight to Mr. Tom Stoad. Tom, how you doing, Tom?
I'm great, Donnie. How are you, buddy?
Really good, thank you. Thanks for joining us on Access All Areas this evening.
Well, jeepers, my pleasure, sir. I've been a fan now for about 5 minutes.
I'll take it. So how are you at the minute? Busy, a lot going on, Tom?
All the time, man. Yeah. We're getting geared. Well, Donnie, the reason we're talking is because we're getting geared up for this second part of the Natural Born Killer Tour. That's going all over the UK, my man. Yeah.
Clang, so, dropped it right in the middle there.
The PR will be happy. So, Tom, for the listeners at home, can you tell us more about the new tour? It's called Natural Born Killers. This is like part two. What can people expect? Yeah. What's going on with this tour? What's the essence? What's the vibe?
Well, the essence is that, you know, I know you can't tell that I'm a 50-year-old young man here. I know a lot of people are going, I can't believe it. What do you eat, Tom? Do you use moisturizer? But it's pretty much you know, I've never felt old. Okay, Donnie, I've never felt old. I've always felt in my 20s, I always feel like every decade that goes by, I don't feel like I'm a part of it, that I'm just sort of time traveling, like I was like Doctor Who, moving into each decade.
Yep.
And I'm just like a tourist, and it's really just a take on the fact that I love all the new rules. I'm taking pictures of 2024. I'm enjoying the scenery. I'm enjoying the people. I don't really speak their language most of the time, but I do. but you know, but I do enjoy just sort of watching it. But my whole essence is that I want to get in a DeLorean, head back to the 1990s eventually.
That would
really be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so I'm kind of hoping for dementia. That's the only disease that's going to take me back there.
Tom, I'm always
I'm eating a lot of fatty foods.
I'm always intrigued, especially when it comes to comedians, because comedy... And it's so cliche, but laughter really is the best medicine. And I think some of the best comedy is when you can step back and, I guess, call out what you're seeing. And sometimes that might be hard conversations, and sometimes it might not be the unicorn shitting rainbows. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes that's just not funny. So some of the stuff you've got to laugh at to get ourselves through it. I'm always intrigued, like, is there anything for you personally that's off limits? If you're writing comedy, because I know you've got a family, would you talk about the missus and kids, or is that off?
Oh, yeah. Totally. I support these guys. I'm paying for their school. You know, I'm paying for your school by making fun of you, my daughter, Kira. Dang right I am. You know what? Because I always love that question when they ask me that. Is there anything off limits? And I always think, you know, nothing's above mockery, Donnie. Nothing is above mockery. And if it is above mockery, it scares the hell out of me, man.
Yeah.
You know, like if something can't laugh at themselves, I just sort of want to sideswipe it and sort of go a different way. You know,
well, this is
the most thing. I think most things have. I've always said this. Okay, most things have all sides to it, right? You know what I mean? There's always a sad side, angry side, you know, tragic side. But there's always a funny side to everything. That's why they always say sometimes it takes a little time to laugh at it, but you definitely know in a little while. Your tragedy is going to be really funny, and it's usually because of the way you handled it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So that's what I always think about that sort of stuff, Donnie. And I've been asked that question a lot, and it's a good question.
Thank you.
You know, so if you ever see something that you can't make fun of, be very scared of it. That's what I'm
Donald
saying.
Donald Trump. He doesn't take too well to being laughed at, does he? Yeah, exactly.
You bet he does.
Do you find, though, I mean, it is a fair point, like, with the, like, I kind of tend to agree with you, nothing should really be off limits. But if you're in front of a live crowd, I remember once watching a video of Joan Rivers, and she did a joke about a blind woman or something, and this woman was berating her from the crowd, and she was like, Joan was like, my mother was blind, I can take the piss out of it if I want, you know, is essentially what she was saying. Have you ever had an experience of that when someone's catcalled or whatever, and they've been upset by something you've said?
All the time.
Really?
All the time.
But it's like you're at a comedy gig. You know, you're supposed to say,
you're like, what are you gonna do, man? Like, there's nothing you can't say that hasn't happened to somebody. You know what I mean? Like, I always feel people like that, you know. You know, you come to the show. This is most of the time when I go on stage now, guys, most of the time I always feel like we're on a first date. You know what I mean? Me and the audience are definitely on a first date. And listen, you may not like me. At 53, I'm so cool with that. You know what I mean? I'm so cool. But I'm also just looking for like-minded people now, Donnie.
Mm-hmm,
you know, because those are the ones that are going to come back. So if I say something and somebody kind of gets offended and all that sort of stuff, I always tell them, like, you know, thank you for showing up. Thank you for giving it a try. We really enjoyed your spirit.
And your money.
I love the fact you really risked it. But I think you should stick to safe comedy.
Yeah. And what's
because risky comedy is what I'm about. I like it, man.
Yeah.
I like seeing how far you can go across the line. And everybody thinks young people don't like that. And I don't believe that at all, man. I think the more the more you try to go across the line, the funnier it gets, because those are the things that I think most people want to laugh at, are the things that they probably can't laugh at. You know what I'm saying?
And that leads me on to my next question, because I'd like to know, like, behind the scenes, like the I'm guessing the inner circle of comedians that you've got, is there now, we're in this world of cancel culture, that must, especially as a comedian, when all bets are off, really, when you're on stage and you've got the microphone, that's your room, they're your audience, they're there, they've paid to be there, and you're going to deliver your set to them. But with this whole thing hanging over people's head of, like, don't say this because you'll get cancelled, does that make comedy hard as a comedian now, or do you just not give a shit?
Oh, that's a good question, Donnie. I love that one, man. Because I think it's like a, two-part kind of a thing. You know, like, if you're an established guy like myself,
oops, yeah.
Like, I'm not really afraid to be canceled. You know what I mean? Not by my words, anyways. Not by my words, because unless I say something that's illegal, do you know what I mean? Like, completely illegal. Mm. I'm not doing anything wrong. It's just my brand of humor. Like I say, to go back to the last question, it's just my brand of humor. That's what I think is funny. Of course, not everybody's going to think it's funny, but you know what? I'm not looking for the whole pie either. But if you're just a comedian starting out, well, now you've got something, because the audience can push you around, because you're now 20 years old, you're starting out, you're not in my realm, because you're trying to get likes, you're trying to get followers, and those are your fans, and trust me, my fans, a lot of them aren't on Twitter, Donnie. A lot of them. I could be canceled, and they wouldn't know.
Yeah.
So, but for a lot of the up-and-coming guys, I think that is, like, if I were starting out now, that would be a legitimate fear of mine. Because you want to toe the line, you want to be dangerous, but you don't want to, you know, you don't want to piss off the keyboard mob, you know?
Yeah, it's difficult.
Because your audience just isn't in the room anymore. Your audience is on the phone, and they deserve to be, because you're the one that put the clip out. So you have to take the heat or the heat or the kudos for the clip that you gave, because being online, that's a whole different comedy club. And it is a comedy club. It's a world comedy club. And it's the biggest amateur night you've ever seen, with some real great comedians on there. And they just come thick and fast, man, thick and fast. So if you're involved in the social media world and they don't like what you said, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could get booed pretty heavy off. You could get booed off of social media just as well as you could get booed off a stage.
What do you make of, there was a lot made recently of Joe Coy doing the...
Joe Coy.
Was it the Golden Globes? I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, I heard that one.
Yeah, and people are like, and comedians, obviously, they get their stuff written for them on this night. I imagine, by a big panel of people that are writing these jokes, and they fall flat, right? How do you feel about that sort of, like, comedy by panel that will have happened behind the scenes? Do you think it would have been better if he'd have just done it all himself, or that kind of... You know,
I think once you get into that corporate situation, the blame lies on the, if they don't let you be you, I mean, they hired you for you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Ricky Gervais ever had the same problem.
No, he didn't. No.
Joe Coy's got.
Yeah.
Because again, we're talking what I just said earlier. Joe Coy is a new comedian, as far as I'm concerned. Whereas Ricky's very established.
Yeah, yeah.
But Joe Coy, I mean, why are you there? Because you love the gig? Because you just want to entertain all these people? Or do you want $50,000?
I know what I'd be there for.
Yes. Yeah.
So of course he wants 50 grand. And if you were to give me 50 grand, I'd say anything you want me to say.
Yeah, fair. You know, me too.
I'd walk in there and go, what do you want me to say? I want you to say your grandma, you know, made love to a monkey. the boss's grandma made love to a monkey. Are you sure? And they go, yeah, that'll be great. That'll be great. Here's a paycheck. Awesome. And then they walk away and go to where they love me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just another corporate-y gig that they got. And I think everybody understands that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also fun. It's also fun roasting them for being so,
yeah.
for being so like actually shit. Doing it.
So coming off the back of the question where I was saying, does it worry you, the whole cancel culture, and you I think bang on the money, where you said, where you're established and you've got your audience and your fans, they know what they're getting with you. And that's what they want from you. If you turned up talking about Peppa Pig, they're going to be pissed off. Do you know what I mean? So they know why they're there. But if we're now in this era of up-and-coming comedians that have to be very much watching every single word, do you worry about the future of comedy, say, in 30 years? Is it going to be so filtered that it's not funny?
I don't think so, Donnie. I don't think so, because even though I say the comedians that are coming up right now, like, how old are you, Donnie? How old are you?
21.
Forgive me.
No, I'm
and
not.
Who's the other guy there, by the way?
So this is Stephen.
Hello.
Hi, Stephen. Sorry, I haven't met you.
That's
name,
all right.
Stephen.
That's okay.
You. The back of your head looks really cool.
My bald spot.
How old are you, Donnie?
I'm 37.
Okay. What I think is it's the same as when I was 20, the 20-year-olds and the guys that are doing it now. They will decide, there will be some that will be dangerous in the new group. There'll be some that are safe, that are like Michael McIntyre's, and they'll be and they'll all fight for that kind of thing, because every generation just has their level of different comedians coming up. It's not like you can blanket all these comedians in this woke times, you know, because you get so woke and you're a 20-year-old, you're the most rebellious person in the world because you have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So the more woke it gets, the more you're going to rebel against it when you are a young man, unless you agree with it, of course. And then within the social media realms, you're going to have also those people that want to rebel with you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, do you ever see those, when you see a thing, they come at you and they say, you should never say that. You should never say that. And then there's one dude in there going, why don't you shut up? And then, you know, you went to comedy club. You could have left. You could have turned it off. And there's a whole bunch of those, too. You know, like, not, you can't say every 20-year-old is the same as you can't say every 50-year-old is the same.
No.
But there is like that pecking order, and there is that little fear that's always underlining every comedian. I think the biggest fear that most comedians have isn't that they want to be canceled. It's that they might not be funny. Because, you know, like, if you're super funny and you know the joke was funny, but you're canceled anyway, so you can walk away with your head held high. And I think that's...
You got the laughs.
Yeah. And you know some people are going to be on your side, Donnie.
Yeah.
And most of the people that are offended, I'm going to tell you something, Donnie. You know, the social media has amplified the offended people, because most of them people wouldn't step foot in a comedy club.
True.
You know? Like,
that's a good point.
Like, I don't know people who are very sensitive, and you say, let's go to a comedy club. And they go, that's my favorite place.
And then they sit in the front row, and they don't want to be echoed and called out. Oh, Tom, honestly, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here on Access All Areas on Food Bar Radio. Come back anytime. I could talk to you all night, but I've got to wrap up the show. I've got less than
I
a minute left.
Donnie.
Thank you so much, Tom.
One quick thing. Can we do one quick thing, Donnie, before we go?
Yeah.
TomStage.com. That's where you can find tickets. All right.
And where can I find you on social media? You've got 30 seconds.
TomStage. Okay, Twitter, Tom State Comic, Instagram, just search Tom State, it'll be there. And I got a Facebook fan page. And you're the best, Don.
You too, Tom.
I know it.
Thanks for joining us. Bye, mate. See you soon. Take care. What a lovely man. Great chat.
Yeah, really good chat.
I thoroughly enjoyed that. Well, guys, again, another show just flies by, doesn't it? That's an hour almost done. How about you, babes? Much planned for the week? A few seconds before we close.
Not a huge amount. I'm not drinking at the moment, Bob, so I'm being boring.
Is there any 100-day sober? I've got the 100-day cough.
Oh, Christ, not you. No, going out for a nice dinner on Friday, that's it. What about you?
Lovely. Hospital tomorrow.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Yeah. So hopefully all good in you. Put out the positive vibes. But, guys, enough about that. Thank you so much for joining us here on Access All Areas. And we'll be back next week, Wednesday, at 6 p.m. And until then, take care of yourselves. Bye.
Bye.